This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda senior market analyst in Singapore, Kelvin Wong. Good morning from London. Good afternoon to you, Kelvin.
Good afternoon over here from Asia, and good morning to you, Johnny.
Before we talk about the week ahead, let's focus on markets where you are, which have been boosted after that late rally on Friday from USA markets.
So if you look at the current situation over here in this kind of risk-on, risk-off behavior in the global equity space, it seems to us that macro factor now is taking a driver's seat because the earnings season is already over, reporting season for Q1. So what we could see very interestingly over here in the later part of last Friday US session, the major US indices did a remarkable key bullish reversal on an intraday basis, where the S&P 500 is up by 0.8%. The outperformer will be the Dow Jones Industrial Average, up 1.51%. And what's interesting over here is that the rebound on the S&P 500 actually rebounded right at its 20-day moving average, acting as a support. So the catalyst for this remarkable turnaround, positive turnaround in the major US stock indices, has been driven by the ongoing softness in the US 10-year Treasury yield, where they continue to actually inch down much lower to in last Friday's session. And if you look at the 10-year US Treasury yield right now, as we are speaking, is now back below the 4.5% level. So that lower 10-year US Treasury yield, it actually implies a lower cost of a global benchmark long-term funding. So it also create a positive feedback loop to the Asia major stock indices in today's session at the start of this week. So we do have a very positive performance today. And in fact, the Japanese market and the Hong Kong market has really been closed. So the numbers are rather rosy on an intraday basis. So if you look at the Hang Seng index, close positive at 1.8%. The Japanese Nikkei 225 is close, a positive 1.13%. And with the China CSI 300 at a lower positive number, but still positive, slightly gaining at 0.25% for today.
Let's talk about oil now, Kelvin. Now, yesterday, OPEC Plus agreed to extend all production cuts into next year. Now, one may have thought that that would signal that oil prices would go up, but they've gone down today. Why is that?
Yes, precisely. So the main reason over here is that, do not forget, this OPEC cuts, there are actually two parts. There's this kind of a more of a compulsory collective cuts, they call it. So the collective cuts of 3.66 million barrels per day, that will be extended till end of 2025, no doubt about that. But there's this little portion about this, we call it the voluntary cuts. So this voluntary cuts, initially, it was supposed to end this month, which is in June 2024. So yesterday, OPEC Plus members agreed to actually extend this voluntary cuts of 2.2 million barrels per day, but only extended until end of Q3 this year, 2024. That means until September 2024. Then thereafter, after September 2024, that means all the way up, that means from October 2024 till lasting 1 year, that means October 2024 till October 2025, this voluntary cuts of 2.2 million per barrel per day in the past will slowly gradually be released to the market. All right, so that actually initially on the surface is considered bearish. Why? Because some corners of the market participants are expecting this voluntary cuts of 2.2 million barrels per day to extend until end of this year. But OPEC pulled a surprise, they only extended under Q3 2024. But what's interesting over here is that there's a little caveat in the statement regarding about this gradual release of that initial voluntary cuts of that 2.2 million per barrel, is that it will base according to latest market dynamics at that point in time. That means starting from October 2024 to October 2025, this 1 year period, depending on the market dynamics at that point in time. So, i.e., meaning that this so-called gradual monthly increase is not a kind of a confirmed situation. It depends on very much on the latest market dynamics. It can be stopped, or even reverse. So very interesting to see how the market situation in terms of the oil the direct forces that actually dictate the oil supply and demand at that point in time. So what's interesting for sure is that markets has been very bearish in today's Asia session for the oil market. So what we could see is the West Texas oil is down, extending its Friday losses. Right now, it's down negative 0.5%. Very similar to Brent crude as well, which is down at 0.4%, almost the same. But what's interesting over here is it's now testing a key short-term support at US$76.70 per barrel. So that particular support has helped prices since on the 15th of May and as well as 24th of May, and right now during the Asia session and the European session as we are speaking. So very interesting to see towards the end of this week, can oil prices manage to still hold at this key short-term support of US$76.70 per barrel.
Indeed, and markets will have a close eye on these oil prices because they will obviously impact inflation in the short and medium term, Kelvin, which could affect the chances of rate cuts right across the world. Of course, we've got the possibility, a strong possibility indeed, of an ECB rate cut this week. We've also got the non-farm payroll numbers coming out in the United States on Friday, and markets will have a close eye on that as to whether we might see a cut in rates over there in the medium term rather than the long term. So let's start with the ECB cut. Are you saying, along with most people, that it's nailed on that they are going to cut rates this week?
Yes. So on this Thursday, I believe that that first interest rate cut from Eurozone is pretty much well telegraphed, guided by a slew of ECB officials in the last 2 months. So market is almost fully pricing a cut to the two key interest rate, the policy, which is the depo rate, to 25 basis point down from 4% to 3.75%. And the refinancing rate from 4.5% down by also 25 basis point to 4.25%. So what's interesting over here is the forward guidance, because right now, the last few weeks of ECB public official speeches is rather mixed. There are actually some ECB officials is yearning towards the less dovish camp, especially one of them will be last week with the ECB chief economist, where he did mention that ECB interest rate in ECB still got to be in a restrictive territory, despite this well-telegraphed first interest rate cut that is more or less penciled in to come in this Thursday. So what he implies over here is that this group of camp of ECB official implies they're still pretty much concerned about elevated inflation coming back into the Eurozone, which is, I would say that, yep, there are actually some evidence that actually support their fears. Why? Because if you look at last Friday, a preliminary release of the May Eurozone inflation rate, that actually the core inflation rate actually came in slightly above expectation. So markets are expecting to come in at 2.8% year on year, but however, the core inflation rate actually inched up higher at 2.9% year on year from 2.7% that was printed in April. If you look at the latest figure of that preliminary May core inflation release of 2.9% year on year, it seems to us that the last 8 months of deceleration trend of inflation trend, deceleration in Eurozone, seems to have plateaued out. So very clearly, market participants will be keeping a close eye watch on this Thursday as well, because the ECB will also release its latest inflation forecast for Eurozone. So do they start to pencil in a higher inflation rate of a pickup trend? If that is being so, perhaps that could actually kill off the possibility of another interest rate cut before 2024 ends. Because if you look at the swap market right now, the market are still pricing in a slight probability of another interest rate cut in Eurozone that will become in the September meeting.
And finally, Kelvin, what are markets predicting as far as US jobs are concerned? Of course, last month, they were much lower than expected at around 175,000. What is the prediction this time around, and how important is it?
Yeah, sure. Because if you look at the state of the job markets right now, it's definitely one of the key economic metrics that the US Fed were to decide what to do next with their interest rate. Because if you look at this situation right now, markets are still looking for at least an interest rate cut by the US Federal Reserve to come in the September meeting rather than July. So market participants will be paying very close attention to the state of the US job market. So, but however, put it in a way that right now, if you look at the last three job market releases, the non-farm payroll, the US job market is getting very, very hard to forecast. Either the consensus forecast is way above or way below. Taking last month example for the month of April, initially market is actually expecting an increase of 243K jobs added, but it came in way below expectation of 175K. So this time round, market is looking at a slight increase from a very low number and a very low outlier number of 175K to a slight improvement to 190K jobs increase for the month of May. So if the job numbers came in within expectation, like about 190K to 200K, I do believe that that doesn't mean a very kind of overheated job market. So perhaps the US Federal Reserve will still maintain that that one interest rate cut pricing by the Fed Funds Futures market to be at least come in the September meeting. But what's interesting, obviously, is that if the consensus got it wrong again and we start to see a very strong jump number to about 250K to 200K jobs added for May, that could actually reduce the odds of that potential interest rate cut in September. So if that's the case, it unfolds due to this very strong US job number that come in at around that 250K to 200K, that could see a resurgence of that US 10-year treasury yield sparking up above 4.5% again. And that could actually put a cap to the bullish tone on the last ongoing risk-on behavior so far that we see on the US major stock indices.
Okay, Kelvin, very interesting. We'll find out on Friday. Have a good week, and we'll speak to you next Monday.
Likewise.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.